This is Express FM.
Supported by Highbury College. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
The games are coming thick and fast for the Blues, and the magnitude of them just keeps getting bigger and bigger. But it was a relatively easy day at the office last time out.
And the final whistle goes here at Fratton Park. Portsmouth have beaten AFC Wimbledon by 4-0.
Pompey secured a 6th consecutive league clean sheet in midweek when they cruised to victory at home to relegation-threatened Wimbledon. In form, Ryan Williams has had his say on why he believes the side are becoming so difficult to play against.
We try and stop centre-halves from having too much time on the ball and the deep line centre midfielders, so they can't play and then they have to kick it long, and if they kick it long, then like the Kaffer said, we've got four monsters at the back, so they're just going to eat up the headers, and then we get on the second balls and then we play from there.
And between now and 7, we'll also hear from assistant manager Joe Gallagher, who is confident heading into tomorrow's game against Hull.
Couldn't be better really for us to play those teams above us. Hull have excellent side, come down from the Championship, and we're going to have to play very, very well in order to get 3 points.
We've got interviews with those two, highlights of the midweek clash with the Dons, and of course reaction from you back home as well. How important do you think goal difference could prove to be come the end of the campaign? We'd love to hear from as many of you as possible over the course of the next hour or so, and don't hesitate to drop in a score prediction too for tomorrow's game. Welcome to the start of your Friday evening and the beginning of another match day preview right here on Express FM. You're listening to the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome to yet another instalment of the Football Hour here on Express FM, where we bring you the latest news from Fratton Park, passionate Pompey discussion, and the latest match reviews and previews as well every Monday and Friday between 6 and 7 o'clock. And this season, we are proudly being sponsored by Stagecoach Across the South. Download the app today to browse up-to-date timetables, fares, and COVID guidelines too. Coming up on tonight's show, I'll be inviting two more Blues fans to join me over the powers of the internet to discuss Pompey's latest result, as well as look ahead to the next game with a few other interesting talking points in between as well. As always, we want you back home to get involved with the conversation with us tonight. So why not stick the kettle on, grab yourself a bite to eat and kick back, relax and join us as we do nothing but talk football for the next 60 minutes. All the methods in which to get in touch are as follows. 81400 is the number to text. Start your messages with the word Express. You can tweet us, including at ExpressFM, email pompey at expressfm.com or head on over to facebook.com/PompeyLive. However, before we get into any of that, we're going to take a short trip down memory lane. We take you back to Tuesday evening, 7 o'clock, under the Fratton Park floodlights, as Glyn Hodges brought his Wimbledon side down to PO4, seeking 3 big points to take his side out of the relegation zone. Kenny Jackett had other plans, though, and your commentary team for this one was led by Andy Moon and the returning Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoot and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
His harness down the right-hand side. Lovely cross from here into a danger area. Marcus's header goes straight up in the air. Loose ball. Naylor to hit it. Oh, no. Cannon gets in his way. And Portsmouth through Cannon dart into the area. Good play from Cannon. Can he get the shot away? Tries to lay it off. Marcus will hit it. Blocked by the defender. It'll come out to this near right-hand side. Johnson tries to play it down the touchline looking for harness. And Wimbledon are going to be able to clear it away. Right-footed in twin corner to come for Portsmouth to defend. Everyone back to do so towards the far post. Loose ball in the 6-yard box and it's rolling behind for a goal kick, and Portsmouth get away with one. Now can Johnson cross this first time? Callum Johnson into the middle, looking for Williams. His header is going to go into the back of the net, and John Marquis has forced it over the line. Johnson's delivery, Williams' header, Marquis taps in from a yard out. The deadlock is broken. It's Portsmouth 1, AFC Wimbledon 0. Marquis to Williams, and Portsmouth could be in here. Williams is left, but it's shot. What a brilliant goal! Magnificent strike from Ryan Williams. His first at Fratton Park this season. Pompey double the lead in some style. It's Portsmouth 2, AFC Wimbledon 0.
Portsmouth with the two-goal lead heading towards the interval. And Brown steps over it. Jacobs with his right foot towards the far post. Good delivery. Header into the net. And Portsmouth make it three. Raggett with his fourth goal of the season. The only competition for the ball there was from his centre-half partner, Jack Watmore, but it was Raggett who got there. And there was no saving that header. And Portsmouth look to have this victory wrapped up before half-time. Portsmouth 3, AFC Wimbledon 0. And it's lifted into the penalty area. Lovely delivery. Header down and wide. And Wimbledon inches away from pulling one back. They trail 3-0. Curtis has set Ben Close away down the right-hand side. Close is waiting for support. He'll shoot himself. What a goal from Ben Close. A wonderful strike. Squeezing the ball into the bottom corner. It didn't look like it was on. It's not been a great time for Ben Close. He's not been getting on the pitch. That sends a message of what he can do to the manager. Portsmouth 4, AFC Wimbledon 0. And the final whistle goes here at Fratton Park. Portsmouth have beaten AFC Wimbledon by 4-0.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
So those there were the highlights of Pompey's emphatic victory over the Wombles in midweek. John Hooper is one of those who has kindly agreed to join me on the show this evening. John, welcome back, mate, and thanks for coming on tonight.
Yeah, mate, yeah, thanks for having me on again. I'm really happy to be on as per. It's nice to be on.
A 4-0 win for the Blues on Tuesday night then, John. How pleased were you to see yet another 3 points next to Pompey's name on the table?
I was absolutely thrilled, Jake, to be honest with you. It was a cracking result, and from start to finish, we didn't give him any real chances.
And alongside you this evening, John, we have Alex Macy returning to give us his thoughts too. Alex, good evening. Trust you're well, my friend, and thanks also for calling in.
Evening, Jake.
So, Alex, it was yet another clean sheet for Pompey this week. That's now 6 in a row in League One. How impressive is that?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen that since, was it Redknapp's Premier League era? Was that when the record was from?
I believe it was, yes. And I think the one after that, the best record since that time, Alex, was under Steve Cottrell in the Championship. And, of course, the post-war record is somewhat 660-odd minutes. We've got a chance to break that tomorrow afternoon against Hull. So, yeah, it's been a very long time and a very impressive record, like you say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think apart from away at Hull when Cam Pring came in for Lee Brown, the back four's basically been unchanged since October. Brown's come in and he's been really consistent. Johnson looks like a really good signing at right back, and Raggett and Watmore have got a real understanding as a centre-back partnership now.
And is it key to keeping that back four, as Alex just mentioned there, John, consistent throughout the entire campaign? Because, of course, you can always rely on Jack Watmore, can't you? You've got Lee Brown and his experience too. Callum Johnson, again, having a very, very good season. And Sean Raggett, you've got to say, has been probably the most improved player of the campaign. So, all in all, you're very impressed with what you're seeing.
Oh, 100%, yeah. As you say, this back four and I've played together so much this season. It's nice seeing it all gel and slow but sure become a very solid unit as a collective. And you say Raggett, he's really improved. And I think when he first came, he had a few doubters, but now he's showed everyone how good he is, and it's nice to see him doing well and flourishing.
And Pompey, of course, undefeated in the league since the 1-0 loss at Blackpool at the start of December. Alex, a fantastic run. We'll come on to our next opponent's Hull later on in the show. But, you know, a lot of talk after the game on Tuesday was that, you know, despite a 4-0 win, it was against a relegation-threatened team. Pompey weren't necessarily on top of their game, which is, you know, hard to believe when you've won a game by 4-0. But, you know, it's one of those cases, Alex, where on Tuesday night, you can only beat what's in front of you. And Pompey got the job done professionally and as efficiently as they could.
Yeah, and I think it was also good to see four different types of goal that we scored as well. I mean, Marquise's was a good instinctive striker's goal, had that brilliant individual effort from Williams, a set piece from Raggett, and a counter-attack from Ben Close. So I think that will really impress Kenny Jackett, that the different modes of scoring goals were all utilised on Tuesday, and that's definitely what they'll be looking to bring into Saturday.
Yeah, and just a quick word on our opponents from Tuesday night as well, John Wimbledon. They had previously picked up just 1 point from their last five matches, and of course that run extending to six games. They're in some deep trouble at the bottom of the table.
Yeah, you say that. Sadly, they are. No, I think in previous years they've always been there and thereabouts in the bottom, but they always seem to come out and get some points on their belt. But at the moment, I can't see them getting any more points in the next five games.
And looking at Pompey's goal difference, then of course the points are starting to rack up now, Alex. But the goal difference is actually the best of any team in the country, and that again, as well as, you know, we've been discussing the overall defensive record of Pompey of late. But that's another fantastic stat, which I'm sure Kenny will be very pleased about.
Yeah, as you say, top scorers in the league and the best defensive record. I mean, you can't do better than that, can you?
And those stats as well, Pompey fans, if you haven't seen them. Pompey, of course, 21 games played, third in the Sky Bet League One table, 41 points, 1 point behind both Hull and Lincoln in the top two. 37 goals scored, 15 conceded. That's a goal difference of plus 22. A fantastic achievement from Kenny Jackett and his side. And speaking of the gaffer, John, he's been speaking to some of the media outlets in the week, and thanks to our friends over at the News as well for reporting this. We're hearing that he maybe wants to bring in a goalkeeper before the end of the transfer window, and this is largely due to the fact that Alex Bass remains sidelined and is expected to be for the next probably 5 or 6 weeks at least, with an injury to his leg. What do you think about that one?
I can understand the reason behind it in the sense of as Bass is injured, but I'll say Duncan Turnbull, we signed him on I'm not sure what the deal is, but I know we signed him last season, and he seems, although Tuesday, or 2 weeks ago, against Peter, that was not the best display you've ever seen, but on fairness, it was his first of the game. I think you want to see him put trust in Turnbull and give him the confidence to go on. But on the same token, goalkeeper's a key position, and if you're McGiller injured, but God forbid it happens, you need someone there to play backup.
Yeah, and speaking of goalkeepers, congratulations, by the way, to Newport goalie Tom King. He scored an outrageous goal in midweek. It's actually a new world record of the longest distance of a goal scored by any sort of player in the game of football. 96 metres. A fantastic... How? I've got so many questions. I mean, if you've seen the goal, or if you haven't seen the goal, get online, search it up. Tom King, Newport County, scored against Cheltenham Town in League 2 on Tuesday night. 96 metres from a goal kick position. It was just absolutely bonkers. And Tom King, a self-proclaimed Pompey fan who came through the ranks at Fratton Park. So that's his relevance to the show tonight. But yeah, congratulations to Tom King. 96 metres. That's superb. I can't get my head around it. Don't forget, if you'd like to get in contact with us throughout the course of this evening's show, you can, and you are more than welcome to do so. You can either text the word express followed by your name and message to 81400, email into Pompey at expressfm.com, head over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/PompeyLive, or send us a tweet at expressfm. Tonight we want to know whether or not you believe the Blues are one of the best footballing sides in League One. How confident are you of Pompey setting a new post-war defensive record this weekend? And who is your player of the season so far? I'll get through as many of those before we leave you at around 7 o'clock this evening. But first, we're going to hear from Ryan Williams, who spoke to Jack Fallon from the Pompey media team following Tuesday's win over the Dons at Fratton Park. The playmaker was first asked about the influence of momentum and the confidence in the team following a string of fantastic results.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, the Fleetwood game wouldn't really have meant anything if we had turned up today and got a draw or maybe lost. So it was massive for us to come out fighting, come out fast, and that's what we wanted to do, and that's what we did first half. I think we probably put the game to bed in the first half, and then second half could have done a bit better, I think. But yeah, the train keeps on rolling.
We spoke about it before, but that partnership with John Marquis just seems to be really clicking at the moment. A goal and assist each, and you could have had two if you hadn't pinched it at the back post.
To be fair to him, I think it might have been going wide, I'll give him that. But yeah, look, I mean, me and John been talking during the games, and like, the more we play together, the more I know where he's going to run, and he knows where I'm going to run, and you know, so on and so forth. So I think the more games we play together, the better understanding of each other we'll have.
Joe Gallagher spoken about it before as well. He's really pleased with another clean sheet in the league. He said it's not just the defenders, it's a whole team effort, a whole team press, and you are one of those guys that is further up the pitch who's really harrying the holding midfielder and the centre-backs as well.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, me and John kind of set the tempo for everyone else, and hopefully it kind of rubs up on everyone else. We try and stop the centre-halves from having too much time on the ball, and the deep line centre midfielders, so they can't play, and then they have to kick it long, and if they kick it long, then, like the Kaffer said, we've got four monsters at the back, so they're just going to eat up the headers, and then we get on the second balls, and then we play from there.
Talk us through your goal, a beautiful individual effort.
Yeah, John said it nice, to be fair. Said it in my path, and I just seen that kind of angle, and left foot just went for far post, went in.
Yeah, you take those all day long, and it's the first of three home games ticked off now. Hull on Saturday is set up so sweetly, just 1 point ahead at the top of the log. You must all be buzzing for that one.
Well, the next two, isn't it? I mean, Hull and Lincoln are both above us. If we hopefully get some positive results from them two games, we'll be sitting nicely, and then hopefully we can take that and just keep on rolling forward game by game. I mean, the next two games are important, and after that we'll just see who they are and crack on and just keep doing what we're doing, you know. Today was a good performance. It's probably not our best home performance, but in terms of creating stuff and team play, I think we've done really well.
Ryan Williams there speaking after the full-time whistle on Tuesday night. And what a run of form he's been on, by the way, Alex. Fantastic.
Yeah, I think we've always said about Ryan Williams, haven't we, that he's always got the ball well and he runs with it well, but what's maybe let him down is that end product, those goals and assists. And since we've reverted to that 4-4-2 formation, him and Marquise, as he says, have complemented each other very well, and they're both firing.
Linda Mayles got in touch. She says, two very important matches coming up. Hopefully, we can win both of them. But if we were to get 4 points from the six, would you consider this as a failure? Linda on the emails. John Hooper, I'm going to ask you that question. Would you consider 4 points against Hull and Lincoln a failure?
Well, obviously, we won 6 points. That would be an absolute dream. But 4 points, going and beating against the top two sides at the time would be an incredible achievement. And there's no reason why we can't do that. But so 6 points would... It's not impossible, but by the same token, we have to be realistic and accept that these two sides are there for a reason, like we are, and it's going to be very, very tough games.
Yeah, and back to Ryan Williams, John. Would it be fair to say that he is probably one of the top performers in the squad right now?
Oh, he's 100%. On my eyes, he's been the hardest working player on that side by far. He leads the pressing, and he also, at the moment now, is in a very good purple patch and getting a lot of goals and assists, and hopefully... start many to come.
Yeah. Okay, very soon we'll be hearing from Kenny's number two, Joe Gallen, who speaks about the blistering form of both Ryan Williams and John Marquis and the partnership they have recently built.
I think them two, yeah, they're lively and they're scoring and they're creating. But, you know, the thing that is the most, that pleases us the most is the pressing from the front, the closing down and the off the ball running that they're doing for the team.
Stick around here on Express FM because we'll be hearing from the assistant boss in the next part of the show, where we'll also continue to pick apart the thoughts of you back home from the text, tweets and emails. We'll see you very shortly for part two of this Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back, one and all, to the Football Hour on Express FM, supported this season by Stagecoach Across the South, getting you from one end of the city to the other and all across Hampshire too, reliably at a respectable price, and all whilst doing their bit to save the planet as well. Going to bring back into the conversation now John Hooper and Alex Macy, who have joined me for tonight's show. And John, we previously heard about Ryan Williams, but we also heard from Joe Gallen a little bit about the partnership he has formed with John Marquis, who, by the way, has picked up the PFA Player of the Month for League One for a third time this season. So he's got the accolade in September, October and December. The season only started in September, John, and so he's only missed out on 1 month out of the four that have been played so far. And he's a bit of a different animal this season, hasn't he?
Oh, he definitely has. Certainly, he's been absolutely incredible this season. I think last season when he came, we knew how good a player he was from his time at Doncaster and went other clubs as well. And now, last season, I don't think was a true reflection of his abilities. And now this year, you've seen him with a partner, they say Ryan Williams, and he's absolutely flying. They both are, and it's good to see that we have finally using two forwards at front, it's working well.
Mm. And there's no shying away from the fact, Alex, as you know, John's rightfully mentioned there, a big part of John Marcus's game and why he's really flourished this season is down to the fact that we are playing now to his strengths. We're playing two up top in large parts of games, and we've got players who are giving him the service that he deserves, really.
Yeah, and I think Ryan Williams is playing quite a similar role to that of James Coppinger when Marquise was at Doncaster. As you say, Marquise is a striker who does need support around him, and he does need that service. He's not an Ellis Harrison type player, target man, and if you give him the ball in the box, he's usually going to put it away.
Yeah. Back to Tuesday night then, John, and Pompey, of course, 4-0 winners over Wimbledon. We spoke in the first part of the show about how really it wasn't necessarily the most kind of blistering of games in terms of Pompey going forward. Actually, probably a defensive and midfield display which shone a little bit more. But do you think Pompey were opportunistic again? And again, you know, we mentioned as well about how it's another way of winning a game. We found out in recent weeks, but the Blues and Kenny Jackett can find different methods to win different kind of games against different kinds of teams. Do you think Tuesday night was a solid defensive display? And do you think that, you know, the four players at the back and Naylor and Cannon in the midfield deserve perhaps a little bit higher praise?
Oh, I definitely agree with that. But most games, well, the last few games we've had in the last 2 weeks, for instance, you had the Fleetwood game, which was our first league game in just under a month. And it showed that we were at times struggling, but at the same token, we managed to get the result. And Tuesday night was no different. It was a tough game in the first 25 minutes into Wimbledon, who were arguably in the game and could have had a goal on another day, and we managed to find a way to win. And now you say it. See, I think it bodes well when you are winning games in different formats, and Tuesday was no different.
Yeah, let's hear some of the goals then from Tuesday night, then, shall we? We'll start off, of course, with John Marquis with the definition of a poacher's strike.
To the middle, looking for Williams. His header is going to go into the back of the net, and John Marquis has forced it over the line.
And we spoke prior to the new year, Alex, about Ryan Williams. And we throughout the entire campaign, really, it's got to be said, we've spoke about how important he is to the team, regardless of the fact that he doesn't get many assists and goals to his name. But of course, he got a goal on Tuesday night. We'll come on to that in a moment. But he also got, for a technicality, an assist as well from that John Marquis goal. It was a great ball from the right-hand side, capping a really well-worked passing move. Callum Johnson delivered it in. Ryan Williams glanced the header towards goal, and John Marquis was at the back post to help it into the back of the net. That was one of the goals you really do like to see.
Yeah, and I think over the years, Pompey maybe haven't scored enough of those types of goals. I think we see so many crosses into the box, and strikers maybe aren't gambling on balls, but as Ryan Williams said in his interview, there's a real understanding between him and Marquise now. And as soon as Williams flicked that ball on, Marquise knew where it was going. And it was just a pleasing finish, as you say.
Yeah. Matt Cobb on Facebook says, my most improved player this season has got to be Ryan Williams. He always caught the eye in terms of his pace, but his play has improved. Perhaps this could be said for the whole team as their minutes played together now increases. Okay, to the second goal there, number 36th minute, and it was that man, the Australian playmaker, Ryan Williams, who doubled Pompey's advantage.
Could be in here, Williams' left-footed shot! What a brilliant goal! Magnificent strike from Ryan Williams!
And this time it was Marquis who turned provider for Ryan Williams with an exquisite finish from outside the box. Another great goal, John. And Marquis in the build-up with some great hold-up play, shielding the ball from the defender imposing behind him. And Ryan Williams has got to go down as probably one of the best goals of the season, probably in the top five.
Oh, yeah, definitely. As you say, it was an incredible finish. And the link-up play between Marquis and Williams this season, not just on Tuesday, it's been exceptional. And it's nice seeing that Marquis is finally getting, well, I'll say the forwards, the whole of Pompey, is finally getting some goals shipped in from other places across the team. As you say, look, across the side of the season, most players now, defenders, midfielders, and attackers, have all scored a few goals this season. And coming the end of the season, this that can really help us.
A text in here from Mike T in Southsea. Good evening, guys. Ryan Williams leads by example. He's the spark plug in the Pompey engine. Don't forget those Jaffa cakes tomorrow, Jake. Mike T in Southsea. Unfortunately, Mike, this is the turn for Ryan Stilwell to be at Thratton Park for tomorrow's game. So I've got the short straw. I'm back in the studio for this one. I'll be watching on iFollow and bringing you, obviously helping with the coverage as well. But I won't forget the Jaffa cakes, Mike. I'll just have them all to myself, which is actually, I think I get a better bargain of that one, don't I? Okay, let's go on to the third goal, then we'll stop talking about Jaffa cakes, otherwise I'm going to get hungry. Sean Raggett, right before the break, by the way, with a great header from a Michael Jacobs free kick.
And Brown steps over at Jacobs with his right foot towards the far post. Good delivery, header into the net! And Porton make it three. Raggett with his fourth goal of the season.
Sean Raggett with his fourth goal of the season, a record for him in terms of goal scoring is concerned. And I'm running out of places for tattoos, Sean. You're going to have to stop, mate. Alex Macy, we spoke about Sean Raggett and about how perhaps he is one of the most improved players in the team this season, but it bodes well when you've got a defender on the top of his game playing with such confidence. But he's going up at corners, at free kicks as well, and he's popping up with the goals too.
It does. If you're going to be a promotion side, you are going to have games where you're not attacking as well as you'd like to in open play, and you might need to rely on a set-piece goal. And to have Sean Raggett and Jack Watmore as well up there, it gives you another option as an outlet for goals. And I think Michael Jacobs obviously maybe hasn't hit the ground running quite as well as some of us would have hoped, but it was a beautiful ball he put in for that.
Yeah. Graham Wilkins on the email says, "Hi Jake, hi all. The Blues looked very efficient against an AFC Wimbledon side languishing in the bottom four on Tuesday night, and the goals kept flowing. Hull at home will be more difficult as you would expect, but I'm confident we can win the game, either by them scoring two own goals or the likes of Raggett, who caused them so many problems the last time we played them. Up front we look dangerous, so all being well, either Marquis or Williams will get 1-2. I'm going for a 2-1 win, but secretly hoping the record of no goals scored against us continues. As for the most improved players this season, it has to be either Williams and or Cannon, and I'd love to see him score one day soon, which would be a collector's item." Graham Wilkins there on the emails. And speaking of collector's items, Ben Close was introduced in late in the second half, and 1 minute before the end of the match, he popped up with a goal of his own.
Close is waiting for support. He'll shoot himself. What a goal from Ben Close. A wonderful strike. Squeezing the ball into the bottom corner.
And what a message that sends to Kenny Jackett, John. Ben Close coming on with moments to go in the match on Tuesday night and coming up with a goal as well.
Yeah, definitely. Say so it's a cracking goal, what may I add as well. And someone I think this season who hasn't played as a feature as much he'd like, but when Cannon and Nade are in such good form, it's not what you can really do. And hopefully, from the end of the season, or from the rest campaign going forward, he'll feature a bit more now. He's a solid midfielder, and in this level, can't go wrong.
Would you say that Kenny Jackett now has a selection headache, Alex, in regards to, of course, Ben Close coming on in midweek and scoring a goal? Tom Naylor and Andy Cannon really immovable as a central midfield partnership. But, of course, Harvey White, who came on for his debut in the second half as well. We've now got four central midfield options who, really, none of them have put a foot wrong yet.
Yeah, I mean, Cannon and Naylor are obviously putting in performances week in, week out. Neither of them deserve to be dropped for. And I think the other issue could be, I haven't seen too much of Harvey White, but I feel like potentially him and Close and Cannon are maybe the same sort of midfielder, the more type who are willing to pass the ball, whereas Naylor's more likely to do the dirty work. So I don't know if we necessarily have backup for Tom Naylor there, but I think there is a lot of competition for Andy Cannon's position.
Yeah. A tweet in from Mockers who says, "Rather mean of Jaffa Cake Pompey Smith to eat all of the Jaffa Cakes himself. Very poor form, Jake. Play up Pompey, Mockers." Mockers, I don't care. I love Jaffa Cakes. They're all mine. They're all mine. They're not going anywhere. John Fitzpatrick also on Twitter. Good evening to you, John. Thanks for getting in touch, by the way, mate. He says, hello, good evening, guys. How are you doing? I hope you're all well, staying safe. So happy that Pompey beat Wimbledon on Tuesday, and I feel we got a chance to win again tomorrow and beat Hull. I think it's going to be tight, but I feel we are the best in the league, says John Fitzpatrick on Twitter. And you've still got plenty of time, Pompey fans, to get in touch with us this evening. Feel free to send in a text, 81400. Start your messages, of course, with the word Express. You can email pompey@expressfm.com, tweet using @expressfm, or head on over to facebook.com/PompeyLive. But now we're going to hear from assistant manager Joe Gallen, who spoke following the midweek thumping of Wimbledon at Fratton Park.
Joe, 4-0 against Wimbledon, a professional dominating performance. What was your take on things?
Yeah, I mean, we played very well this evening in it's a tough game. Wimbledon are not quite getting the results at the moment, but their performance level has been there in their previous games. And I wouldn't say it's a derby, but it's quite, you know, they're only up the road, and I'm sure they look forward to coming to Fratton Park. For the team, they played fantastically well. For them to get to 4-0 tonight in what is tough game and tough conditions, I think the players deserve a lot of credit.
Different types of goals as well, close range finishes, individual bits of brilliant set pieces, and a breakaway goal. Must be delighted with the variety of the goals you're scoring.
That's right, and in the opening 20 minutes there wasn't many chances for either team, and sort of wondering where the sort of chances and goals were going to come from, but the quality of the opening two goals was of an extremely high standard. The passing move for the first goal was excellent, because we switched play very, very quickly, got an overlapping run with Callum, who put in a very accurate low cross, and Ryan Williams has got his head onto it, and John's deflected it in the net. So to open up Wimbledon, who had a back five and flooded midfield, to open them up with such an incisive move was what was, you know, what was needed, but hard to achieve. Second goal was just a fantastic goal, probably not out of a lot, where Tom's done brilliant around the halfway line, and a very good forward pass. But Ryan scored an absolute brilliant goal with his left foot, and that gave us then the platform to go on to, you know, to win the game 4-0. Particularly pleased for Ben running through at the end, scored a very good goal, and a set piece goal from Sean where he's very dangerous. So all in all, the goals were of a high standard. The clean sheet is just as important to us, and we roll on now to the next game.
Williams flicked on for Marquis, and then Marquis flicked on for Williams for his goal. Those two are just working really nicely together at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, because Saturday, obviously, as well, Ryan got a block in, and we got a regain in the final third, and he's put in a very good cross, and John's finished it, you know, brilliantly. I think them two, yeah, they're lively, and they're scoring and they're creating, but, you know, the thing that is the most, that pleases us the most is the pressing from the front, the closing down, and the off-the-ball running that they're doing for the team.
So many different aspects to talk about in this team. A good defensively, good going forward. That's a sixth clean sheet in the league now.
Yeah, which is, you know, which is unbelievably hard to get. You'd have to say that it's the whole team that is responsible for that. You know, the forward players want to be going forwards and creating chances, scoring goals, all the usual stuff. And we're always trying to explain to them, look, you know, defending starts from the front and then closing down and recovering. And the forwards have done absolutely fantastic. But, you know, Craig and Sean and Jack and Lee and Callum, and, you know, and Tom, you know, in particular, and Andy in particular, that, you know, the back four and the keeper, they're the ones who are really into getting the clean sheet. So I'm really pleased for them, their work rate, their commitment, and their ability to keep a clean sheet in the previous games has helped us get points.
Like you say, that is a really pleasing facet of the game. Harvey White came on for his debut today, got about 20 minutes. So what did you make of him? A couple of nice little touches in there.
Yeah, he just looks like someone who is, you know, looks young, but isn't going to play young. He's, I think there's a bit of a nasty side to him as well, in terms of putting his foot in and a tackle. We saw that yesterday in training. And I think he's going to be a very, very good signing for us. He's very good on the ball, technically very good, but, you know, the ability to intercept, the ability to put in tackles at the right moment and have a bit of an edge to him, along with that technical ability, is a good sign for us and a good sign for him.
Saturday against Hull is set up so sweetly now, isn't it, Joe? Just one point off them, and they're top of the tree, and we want to be there come 5 p.m. on Saturday.
Yeah, that's right, and in some ways couldn't be a better game for us, because, you know, we're still chasing them, they're still above us, both Hull on Saturday and obviously Lincoln now coming a week tonight, and couldn't be better really for us to play those teams above us. Hull have excellent side, come down from the Championship, and we're going to have to play very, very well in order to get 3 points.
Jack Fallon there with the assistant gaffer Joe Gallen after the full-time whistle on Tuesday night. Mike Briscoe on Twitter says another great win. Goal difference may be important at the end of the season. Great goal from Williams and good to see Ben Close on the score sheet too. Always had a good shot on him. Next Saturday will be exciting. Hopefully we'll get one hull of a win, says Mike Briscoe on Twitter there, who mentions goal differential. John, and we mentioned, well, it was a question posed at the start of the show, how crucial goal difference could prove to be at the end of the season. We all know too well here at Pompey how important it is to you know, build a very good goal difference. We saw that in 2017, Paul Cook's side winning the League Two title on goal difference right at the death of the campaign, and Pompey starting to build that up again. And do you think that the way the season's going, there are plenty of sides still in the running for automatic promotion, do you think goal difference could well decide either who goes up or you know, really who wins the title?
Yeah, 100%. As you mentioned, Paul Cook's winning side there. I mean, the six goals that day really helped us win the league massively. And I think, again, this season it can be no different. This season, there's maybe five or six teams that all fancy themselves to get the top two promotion spots. And it's so tight at the moment. If anyone slips, everyone can move into different positions. I think I have to keep winning, keep scoring goals, and hopefully keep all clean sheets.
Ben Chu on Twitter says, I'm going for Tom Naylor as my player of the season so far. Plays well every game and our best captain since Michael Doyle. Hard to put a finger on who will be the best come the end of the campaign, with so many of the lads giving more and more effort as the games go on. Thank you to Ben Chu on Twitter for getting in touch there. And Hugh Bunce on Facebook. Lots of important players, but Tom Naylor has to be right up there. Naylor anchoring the midfield has been able to stop opposing teams creating quality chances to score. We saw it against Hull last time and I'm expecting Naylor to do it again against a Hull side now boosted by George Honeyman's return. Naylor's performances are a big reason why Pompey have now not conceded in six league games. Cannon comes close, but there's no direct replacement for Naylor's skill set and leadership qualities. Harvey White can hopefully provide some cover for Cannon in his more pressing role up the pitch, says Hugh Bunce on Facebook there. And we'll come on to, of course, Hull and, you know, what they can kind of offer to Pompey tomorrow afternoon in the next part of the show, Alex. But before we do move on, you mentioned there about the you know, the defensive record, and we've touched on it briefly a few times so far. But Pompey, if they can see through the 71st minute tomorrow afternoon without conceding a goal, they will break a post-war record, which would be simply, you know, quite a fantastic achievement. Do you think that it's possible against the side, as Hugh mentions, have now been bolstered by a few players returning from injury?
It could well be the toughest test we've had, the defence has had so far, since this record has started. I mean, Hull have got a lot of good attacking power. As you say, George Honeyman coming back, Malik Wilkes, and Josh McGuinness up top as well. It will be a real test for the defence, and they will very much deserve it if they can keep Hull out for 71 minutes tomorrow.
Yeah. OK, then, I'll be back with John and Alex right after the break to continue to look ahead to Pompey's next fixture. And we'll also have a quick update on Havant's Waterlooville too. We'll return in just a few moments' time for the conclusion of tonight's show. You're listening to the Friday Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back for the last time this evening to the Friday Football Hour here on the only radio station proud to be passionately Pompey. 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, Express FM. This season, the show is being driven to you by the folks over at Stagecoach across the South. Head over to stagecoachbus.com for more information on your nearest bus stop, as well as up-to-date fare prices too. A quick update now on Havant's Waterlooville before we start to look ahead to Pompey's next fixture. They unfortunately lost 2-1 away to Bath in midweek. Rory Deacon was on the score sheet for the Hawks, who missed the chance to equalise when Bedsenti Gomis missed a penalty in the second half at Wharton Park. Now, next up, Paul Doswell's side were set to be on the road again. Concord Rangers were the opponents for the next game. However, we've learnt today that the National League South and North have now been suspended due to COVID fears escalating and a number of teams, including the Hawks, putting themselves in self-isolation periods to protect their players and staff. It is understood that a number of people connected to Havant's Waterlooville are suffering from the virus, prompting the club to put health over football and put put their foot down. And now the league has now rightfully responded. We'll catch up with our very own Henry Deacon on the show on Monday from 6 o'clock. And he'll hopefully fill us in with what's going on at Westleigh Park. Right then, Blues fans, this is your final chance to get your score predictions into the panel this evening. To do so, either text your name and prediction, starting with the word EXPRESS to 81400. Otherwise, you can email Pompey at expressfm.com, tweet using at expressfm, or visit facebook.com/PompeyLive. And whilst you get about doing that, I'm going to leave you in the safe hands of Connor Mosley, who guides you through what to expect from this week's opponents, Hull City.
It's match day 22 for the Blues at Fratton Park this weekend, and Kenny Jackett's in-form side go into this one having defeated Wimbledon by 4-0 in midweek. This time around, however, a much tougher task is expected as Pompey prepare to host the pace setters, Hull City.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
These two sides only met somewhat 5 weeks ago, with the Blues beating the Tigers at the KCOM Stadium to leapfrog them at the top of the table with thanks to a pair of own goals from the home side. And now they prepare to draw battle once again, and once more, it's Pompey who have the chance to jump above Hull with a win. Here's what we know about this week's opponents heading into the match.
Manager.
Northern Irishman Grant McCann leads the Tigers from the dugout. The 40-year-old was appointed as head coach of Hull in June 2019, with the side embarking on another season in the Championship, which would go on to end with the club's surprise relegation. Altogether, since his appointment, the former Peterborough United and Doncaster Rovers boss has acquired 31 wins from 83 matches.
One to watch.
This time around, the Blues will need to keep young winger Keane Lewis Potter quiet. The 19-year-old, who also wears the number 19, is set for big things in his career, which only began at senior level in 2019. Lewis Potter is local to the area and dons the shirt of his boyhood club. However, the relationship between the player and the club was put under huge strain earlier this season, with both parties locked in contract disputes, prompting manager Grant McCann not to start him until those arguments had been resolved. The last time the Blues faced off with this week's opponent, just over a month ago, there was no room for the man who scored 7 goals in 39 Hull appearances in the starting 11, though he has since signed a new contract which keeps him at the KCOM until 2023. Suddenly, all seems fine and rosy between player and club, and supporters are once again excited to see him back in the team.
Top scorer.
22-year-old forward Malik Wilkes is the side's leading scorer thus far, with 9 League One strikes to date. Wilkes, who joined Hull on a permanent deal from Barnsley in the summer following an impressive loan spell towards the end of last season, has netted 14 times in 38 appearances in total for the Tigers. Former clubs of the striker include Leeds United, where he came through the youth system, as well as Accrington Stanley, Grimsby Town and Doncaster Rovers.
Current form.
Hull City's previous 5 league fixtures have returned 2 victories, 2 stalemates and a loss, which was actually at the KCOM in December, when Pompey nicked a 2-0 win, thanks to a brace of own goals, of course. Those results have followed on from consecutive defeats against Shrewsbury Town and Blackpool, but the side do now sit back on top of the division, thanks to a 3-0 win over Accrington Stanley on Tuesday night. Away from home, the Tigers are 5th in the form guide as a result of picking up 20 points from 11 games, whereas the Blues are 8th in the home form table with 18 points from the same amount of matches. Can Kenny Jackett's men do the double over Hull City and once again return to the summit of League One with all 3 points? All of the unmissable action on Pompey Live.
Reliable as ever there, Connor Mosley with an in-depth analysis on tomorrow's opponents, Hull City. And Alex, Pompey, of course, lurking in third position and in a good place to pounce on not only Hull, but Lincoln tomorrow afternoon. A win for Pompey could see them top of the table once again come 5 o'clock.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Would be superb. And of course, it was a feat that the Blues achieved back in December, a week prior to Christmas. It doesn't seem that long ago, actually, that the Pompey, of course, played Hull in the last game. But a 2-0 win back at the KCOM Stadium, Alex, and there's no reason why we can't repeat that feat tomorrow.
No. And when we went up there in December, we won 2-0 and we didn't have a shot on target. It was that game, wasn't it? I mean, we neutralised them very well, and I think it'll be all about that again tomorrow. They tend to play in a 4-3-3, and I think it's all important that we make sure that we play well down the wings and try and pin them back.
Yeah, and it's a great opportunity in these next two games, John. Two huge games coming up. Well, three, actually, if you include next Saturday's trip to Charlton. But two home games coming up against Hull tomorrow, Lincoln City at home on Tuesday night, first and second currently in the division. But it's a great opportunity for Pompey to lay the mark on the rest of the league and really provide warning signs to the teams around them.
Oh, it definitely 100% is. We've got, we look at the last month, December especially, we had some very, very tough run in which not many people thought we'd get 13 points out. I think if we can do again in these next three games, you say, that'll be sending a real warning sign to the rest of the side around us.
Yeah, and of course, the Blues sit eighth in the table when it comes to home form, whereas visitors Hull are fifth best on their travels. Having said that, though, Pompey are undefeated in five matches on home soil, whereas Hull have failed to win any away from home in each of their last three attempts. Only 1 point separates besides in the actual table, and a win for Pompey, as we say, once again would see them leapfrog the Tigers. However, this time they'll also have a game in hand on them as well, Alex. So we spoke before Christmas about how Pompey not having too many games in hand, whereas like the likes of Lincoln and in particular Accrington, Stanley and Doncaster, teams below them, had, you know, they were racking up games in hand due to COVID postponements and you know, pitch postponements as well. But actually now it's the Blues who really are in the driving seat to achieve promotion this season.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, after the whole game, we were obviously all delighted that we were top of the league, but there was definitely an element of caution that pretty much all the teams below us had at least a game in hand over us. But majority of those results seemed to go in our favour. And yeah, as we've said, we've got a real opportunity now with Hull and Lincoln in the next week to put a marker on where we're going to finish in the league this year.
Yeah, Ben Chu once again getting involved on Twitter says, shouldn't be a simple game tomorrow. Played well against us in December despite us winning 2-0. They're currently in good form and sitting comfortably in the table. Could see it being close. However, I'm going for a 2-1 Pompey win, says Ben there on Twitter. And as he mentions, John, Hull themselves are on a very good run of form, which is why they have elevated back to the top of the table. Pompey, of course, too, on a very good run of form, last being defeated in the league against Blackpool back early December. So really, it's a game tomorrow afternoon where it's two of the most informed teams in the division coming up against one another, and it's going to be a very difficult one to try and split.
Oh, 100%. You say the Hull are looking exceptional this season, as our Lincoln as well. I think you look at us going into the game tomorrow. You have to think that we would. I think you could go to say a point tomorrow wouldn't be a bad result, but the win would be the plan and the dream. I think you're going tomorrow against a tough Hull side. If we start the first 45 minutes, first half, and keep a clean sheet, second half, ask for taking in my eyes.
Yeah. Congratulations as well to Tom Naylor, who has won the Skybet League One Goal of the Month award for December for his fantastic strike against Peterborough back last month. Really, without doubt, that one, wasn't it? So Tom Naylor winning Goal of the Month award for December in League One. Congratulations to him. And got an email in from Alan Swift. Hi, Jake and guys. Tomorrow's the chance to be in the top two, maybe with Lincoln back on top as well. After the Lincoln game, anything can happen, with both of us and Hull not having too many difficult matches. Time will tell. Still, onwards and upwards, maybe 3-1 tomorrow, says Alan in Southsea there on the emails. And a tweeting, actually, first of all, from Hugh Bunce, who mentions a very good point here, Alex. Keane Lewis Potter signed a new contract this week, which was reportedly a distraction in the whole squad the last time these two sides met. Friend Dan Crowley, Hugh continues, he's just signed from Birmingham and they are a lot more talented than the last time we played. But the big talking point there is Keane Lewis Potter, who, was ongoing some contract disputes back in December. He signed a new deal until 2023 and fans are very happy to see him back in the side.
Yeah, he's a very big player for Hull. And I think they've obviously got attacking ability and Wilkes and McGuinness as well. But when we played them in December, there was, I remember, a lot of talk because he didn't start the game about how that would hinder Hull on the day. So I think with a fresh contract, we're going to have to be very careful about him tomorrow.
Some more injury news regarding tomorrow's opponents, Hull. They will be without striker Tom Eaves, midfielder Callum Jones and forward Martin Samuelson, whilst, of course, defender Rhys Burke returns from injury, as well as Keane Lewis Potter, who has returned following the signing of a new contract. Pompey, of course, won the last meeting back a week before Christmas, rather bizarrely, by scoreline of 2-0, despite failing to muster an attempt on target at the KCOM Stadium. And just very quickly, before we do leave you tonight, completely off topic, by the way, Charlton have signed former Pompey forward Jaden Stockley on loan from Preston North End for the remainder of the season. One to look out for next week when the two sides play at the Valley. And speaking of transfer news, still no Charlie Daniels Pompey fans. The reported target for Pompey this transfer window, left-back former Bournemouth defender, of course, still hasn't signed for the club. Who knows? Maybe that could come to fruition over the weekend. We know that Kenny Jackett is very interesting in signing the defender. OK, gents, it's time now to reach out for some score predictions from back home. Andrew Farndale's going for a 1-0 Pompey win. Daniel Seymour says it's going to be a tough game. I would take 4 points out of the next six available. I think we'll nick it 2-1 tomorrow. Patrick Buns, I've got a bet on, saying 3-1 Pompey. Clive Fountain said 2-0. John Mumford said 3-1. And Richard John says, the way we are playing, I feel we can beat anyone. Putting four past a team who played a very defensive game, I feel we can do better when teams attack us. Going for a 2-0 Pompey win tomorrow. Very confident on the socials then. John, what are you going for?
A 2-0 win.
So John reckons it'll be 2-0. How about you, Alex Macy?
I might go a little bit more negative and say I'd take a draw tomorrow. 1-0.
Fair enough. Lads, thank you both so much for joining me on tonight's show. I'm going to go for a 2-1 Pompey win, with Hull not scoring, of course, until after the 71st minute, so that we can claim that new post-war defensive record. OK, well, I'm afraid that is just about all we've got time for this evening, but I'll be back with Liam Howes and Ryan Stilwell from 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon to bring you all of the action of Pompey's next league fixture. The Fratton Park triple header reaches part two of three, as this time the Blues welcomed league leaders Hull City to PO4.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Fourth and found a way yet again.
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
The Blues were back at Fratton Park in midweek, and it was a happy return for Pompey, who dispatched AFC Wimbledon by 4-0. Up next, it's yet more league football at PO4. This time, it's league leaders Hull City who make the journey down to Fratton Park. Join us for all of the unmissable action Saturday from 2. It's the Blues against the Tigers right here.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
That is definitely one you will not want to miss. Match day 22 of this League One season serves up the second fixture between Pompey and Hull City, and the Blues once again have a chance to go top of the table with a win. Be sure to tune in from 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon for full coverage of the game with myself, Liam and Ryan. Well, that may be the end of the Football Hour tonight, but we've got so much more to look forward to this weekend here on Express FM. Express parties back at 11 o'clock tonight through till 2 a.m, playing nothing but the greatest party hits. Tomorrow morning, you can join Ian McGuinness once again for Saturday breakfast between 8 and 11. Ian will provide non-stop 80s music, 4 from 40 from 1991, and the latest on the roads, weather, and of course, sport and news updates throughout too, before he hands over to Lily Park, who's got more great songs, the Tiny Quiz, and a couple of weekend bangers to boot. And then, of course, at 2 o'clock, the return of Pompey Live. The Blues host league leaders Hull City at Fratton Park, looking to break a defensive record, one that has been in place since before World War II. Find out if the Blues can break that tomorrow afternoon from 2 o'clock. Coming up next here on Express FM, we'll be handing you over to Connor Mosley, who's got Express Floor Fillers playing the biggest tunes to get you ready for the weekend. Thank you for tuning in, Pompey fans. Have a great evening. Enjoy what's to come. Of course, stay safe and play at Pompey. Good night.